They're conscious based on the issues that they care about. Sure, some of them will vote conservatively, but others will vote progressively. So that's been part of the frustration when answering these questions around election time.
So, yeah. Just from your perspective, how would you generally access the media coverage of these elections? We had a few problems in the beginning of it with the conservatives saying that they wouldn't allow some media coverage with them throughout their campaigning. And how are the gaps in race, gender, class, immigration being represented or erased?
That's a good question. I mean, every day you hear new announcements on various things. Today, the Liberals announced some measures to boost the military, military spending on military. Conservatives had an announcement today on tough on crime measures. So it really depends. And I think every day there'll be a sort of a new topic that people might focus on. I think just focusing on immigration, of course, the government policies on immigration predates the current election cycle. It sort of started about 6 months ago prior to the election when the government announced tough measures on immigration, especially on student visas and work permits, affecting millions of temporary visa holders. That in the context of what's happening, globally, certainly in the US, it sort of fits the narrative of a more inward looking, a more isolationist view of politics, that is now time to look inward, look at sort of Canadian values, prioritize Canada first. And that sort of, as if you look at the political the political journey that people go through in over generations, we sort of go through this process of sort of ebb and flow of certain political groups and political figures will have more an isolationist inward look towards politics. Others will have a more global multicultural look. And I think in the mid 2010s with sort of early to mid 2010s with both Obama saying in the US and then Trudeau in Canada, we were going through a sort of a phase of more a globalist outlook, a more multicultural outlook, a more tolerant way of looking at politics and our society. With the Trump election, and even the first term, but certainly the second term, that narrative has shifted. Of course. And with that, inevitably, I think, when we talk about the measures that the Trump administration has put in place against countries like Canada, perhaps it's inevitable that in Canada you retaliate with similar rhetoric around Canada first, buying Canadian goods. I guess the degree to which it actually has political and economic weight behind it, it's questionable given the huge disparity that exists between, say, how much we export to U.S. versus how much they, how much we rely on imports from the U.S. I think it's difficult to stay on this course, given the huge economic power that U.S. is compared to Canada. But nevertheless, as a talking point, as a political talking point, it caters to the emotions of individuals when we talk about buying Canadian or putting Canada first. And as a political tool, it can be highly effective to speak to or you know appeal to your citizens' emotions when it comes to voting. So that emotional appeal certainly plays a significant role in determining the outcome, or at least impacting the outcome of elections. You know, going back to when Justin Trudeau was elected the first time, he was a relative backbencher in a sort of a Canadian political context. He wasn't a prominent sort of politician other than his name. He had not been in cabinet. He was a backbencher MP, but his election to lead the Liberal Party and then the subsequent emotional appeal that he had played a significant role in carrying him through the election, the 2015 election, and put him in office. And yet, if you ask, you know, why did you elect Trudeau? People would say, well, you know, we liked him, or he had a great political appeal. But on issues, it's harder to pinpoint which specific policies or issues you can recall that you voted, you know, in you that you voted Trudeau for those specific policies or issues. So that emotional appeal, I think, plays a significant role. And I think in the U.S., we've seen, how the Republican Party really capitalized on that emotional appeal to vote someone like Trump into office. And I think that's really one of the concerns, you know, at times of elections. What is it exactly that we're voting on? Is it the issues? Is it specific policies? And often it's not. Often it's that emotional, the way in which political parties and individuals might appeal to the citizens at an emotive level that often ends up influencing the outcomes of elections.
Okay. I don't want to take too much more of your time, and I appreciate it all. So just to wrap up with maybe a question to summarize what we were talking about, would you say then that people are more inclined during these elections to be informed and form informed opinions by the media, or are they just largely reinforcing their bias?
It's hard to say. And, you know, again, depends on what we mean by media. I think we've seen a shift away from legacy media to social media. And anytime we talk about social media, there's, of course, the danger of misinformation, because the more we rely on, say, citizen journalism, on verified news sources, on news topics, it's become difficult to really understand what is truth, what is being projected in various social media platforms, whether these are a true reflection of what's happening in society, or is it's a fabrication, pure fabrication. Given the challenges, I think it's hard to predict, how the media influences. Certainly there is a significant influence that media have on the outcomes of election. But, you know, we have to look at the aftermath, you know, like one would have to study how issues were covered in media and where were the gaps. And often this happens in the aftermath of elections to then look at what role did media play in the outcomes of election. But looking anecdotally, again, I'm not running any studies currently on how the election is being covered by media. But looking anecdotally, yeah, issues around political, like foreign political interference in elections, misinformation and disinformation, as well as how your own algorithmic patterns, the way you use media, may affect the type of contents that you see, you know, and the types of echo chambers that we often end up in when we use media in a certain way and we search and read topics that exclusively caters to our narrow interest. All this, of course, it will affect the way in which media influence the outcomes of election. I think when we were living in an age that, you know, TV, print, and radio were the only channels of communication, of mass communication, I think things might have been a bit simpler to understand and analyze. But today, you know, our data points or our exposure to media are very varied. And for that reason, I think it's more difficult to predict how the degree to which media influence outcomes of election. But of course, always at any given time, our media content is a reflection to some degree of what goes on in society. And I think the cultural war that I referenced in the beginning of the interview, it's also something we see in the online platform, you know, that this battle, that's this ideological battle between conservatism and progressivism, if you want to sort of simplify it, you see that also manifested in online platforms, how youth mobilize around various issues, for example, how ethnic communities and immigrant communities mobilize around various issues. I think, of course, you might argue that, well, the political groups with most money, most spending power will determine the outcome of the election. And that often can be the case. But we've seen in previous elections where, say, certain political parties with more money at their sort of, you know, if they spend more money on elections, it doesn't necessarily always result in a successful outcome for them. I think the timing is important here. Right now, we're dealing with just consider the Liberal Party. You know, they started off at the start of the election. The Conservative Party was the front runner. Now, with the Trump tariffs and the uncertain economic outlook, someone like Carney all of a sudden looks appealing with his, expertise in the finance sector, and what he brings to the sort of to the table, you know, as the former head of Bank of England, for example. So it's all to say that it's not a given that just because media portrays elections or politics in a certain way, then that will determine the outcome of the election. I think it's far more complicated than that.
If you could suggest one thing that political leaders or media outlets should do differently after this election to better serve Canadian democracy, what would it be?
I would say specific to ethnic communities is not to drop them between the elections, because something we see with ethnic communities is that they all of a sudden become a point of interest for politicians during election. And then between election times, they're forgotten. For example, like I always get requests around election times to give interviews on the ethnic vote. But between elections, no one's interested in talking about ethnic communities and their political mobilization, so to speak. So I think that's one area I would say to also show interest in the so-called ethnic communities between elections and think about how mobilize support in communities, not just during election, but also between elections, and listen to ethnic communities that not think of them as this homogenous bloc group that vote in the same way, and to look at ethnic communities as more complex groups that will vote according, again, to what interests them, what they care for, whether it's the environment, whether it's social justice issues, economy, global issues. I think all those matter, not to think of them as a block vote.
Okay. That served really well. Thank you so much, Daniel, Dr. Daniel.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
I'm Justine Willis-Toms, host of New Dimensions, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM. As you know, we are living in both challenging and exciting times, prompting more people to seek new solutions and to engage life more fully. New Dimensions explores vital topics with some of the world's leading thinkers, from science and religion to politics and medicine. Join me on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and together we'll explore New Dimensions on CJSF 90.1 FM, the station that is diverse, independent, and yours.
Thank you so much for following CJSF 9.1 with me so far. Again, my name is Iago, and today we've talked a little bit about identity politics, formation of votes, and how the media is covering these elections. I think that for the rest of this episode, I would like to first take a moment to reflect upon some of the things that Dr. Daniel said to us, and on the general comments of mine as well, just addressing these elections. We have also a piece of the town hall for the environment that unfortunately I don't think it's adequate for me to play because I won't have time to comment. And I think that the interest of the audience to hear more about the candidates is to properly have a reflection on the things they are saying. And for those who live in Port Moody, Coquitlam, and also in Port Coquitlam, these reflections were played on Tuesday, Speak Up, and you can find those in our website. So, yes, we can also discuss them a little bit further for next week. So, just comment a little bit on everything that was said with Daniel. I think that looking at this elections is really interesting because of a few pieces. One of the things that I wanted to take away from the town hall that I've noticed on how the candidates are portraying themselves, not only on those two districts, but also on the other districts, Burnaby Central, and also Burnaby New Westminster, which are the ones that I have been following the most, we can look that the platforms of the parties are really well defined in terms of, more specifically, how the candidates need to portray themselves. So we're looking here, for example, at the Liberal Party saying that they are the only one who can directly address the threat of the United States, the ones who have the most adequate solutions to both environment and economy at the same time. We have the Conservatives saying that they are the image, they're the alternative to what has, for the past century, the Liberals were in power for 100 years, so they are the alternative to how the last 10 years went wrong, and also to change much of the woke culture, just like Trump tried to do in their own platform. And we have the NDP portraying both as standards and pro-billionaires, and the NDP as the ones that are going against that. So looking at all of those, I found it interesting how the media coverages in the same way, with the same portrait, those parties. Something that we can take away from the conversation that we just heard is that people vote not only for these reflections. Of course, they contribute a lot, especially to undecided voters. But thinking about problems and issues, people are looking for resolutions. They're looking for solutions, which are not necessarily addressed when you're trying to only sell an image of what you can do on your maximum. There are local problems. We have slides that happen in Port Coquitlam, for example, when we're talking about the environment, that people want to hear how they're going to avoid. And it's harder to see the media adequately addressing them with questions. And that all comes in the way that the voters are also shaping their voters' personality. I think that these are some of the reflections that I took away, that we need to look, especially at ethical groups, not as a voting bloc, but by their individual interests, which is something hard. It's something that even when SFSS local elections, so that Simon Fraser and Student Society, were happening, I noticed that many candidates would directly address their support as, oh, if I have the support of, for example, the faculties of social arts and science, all people there are going to vote for me. Well, not necessarily. People are concerned with events that went wrong. They're concerned with how their healthcare is going to increase their benefits if they vote for it. And the same happened with federal elections. So, yeah, I hope you have enjoyed listening to this conversation. If you missed the beginning or the end of it, you can always find on the website posted just after the episode. And for the rest, I would like to play some music for everyone. So I think that I've been much in a poppy vibe, if I can say it like that. What I mean by that is just indie rock music has been really interesting for me. And I think that because of that, I would like to bring some of the artists that I've played last week again. One of them were Naked Giants, which is a rock garage indie rock. And because of that, I'll be playing here Dissolve. So we listened to Liz Dissolve earlier, and now it's just Dissolve by Naked Giants. So enjoy the music.
dissolve like sugar on your tongue each time you talk to me. Or anyway, I don't know why I try so hard and not at all to find it. Oh, we'll find
And for everyone following Cesar Jessup and this episode with me, thank you a lot. Gonna be here next week, the same time, Thursdays at 1, for this conversations with me about environment, politics, and much else. And for the next episode, we just have a pre-recorded show of Open Mic. So enjoy the next show, continue tuning to CGSF. This, you're listening to Naked Giants. This song is Oh Michael. And see you next week.
There's the guy, who took my bite. I want to tell him what I think about his brand new. Coffee and I'll chew some gum. Oh God, dear Michael, don't pick up that gun.